This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Yo, what's shaking, everybody? It is a Monday edition of the Orange Bloods podcast. I'm Jeff Ketchum, bringing you a podcast brought to you by JFQ Lending. You guys know the deal. They're the title sponsor of this podcast. They have been for a while. They're also the sponsor of the weekly recruiting thread over on orangebloods.com. And they want to help you with your mortgage. They want to get your business. They've got all-star rating. Like, they're 5 stars, 3,000 of them or something like that. Like, they've been around for like 5 years and they've just exploded. And they will give you a $500 credit and they will cover all appraisal costs if you go with them. Check them out, jfqlending.com. You can email Dallin Rowley at drowley@jfqlending.com to get this thing started. What a weekend, huh? I feel bad. I feel bad. Look, Anwar and I did the post-game show on Friday. And then I thought about the need of a podcast. Because we didn't do a modcast last week because of Thanksgiving and the game is on Friday. And it didn't work out. We should have done one. Apologies. I should have done one. Apologies. I don't know if I was just worn out. The urge just wasn't there. The motivation didn't exist and I didn't do it. And I didn't make the request. We were all bitching about our fantasy football teams yesterday, but none of us were lining up to get together to do a podcast. Apologies. I'll make sure that doesn't happen again, but I'm here. Look, I'm going to be recording another podcast with Anwar in about, oh man, probably like 2 hours. No, 2.5 hours, 2.5 hours from now, I'll be doing another podcast. I'll be doing the Monday Overreaction podcast in the aftermath of Tom Herman's press conference. So I'm trying to make up for the lack of a weekend podcast with an earlier Monday podcast that will then be followed up with an Anwar and I podcast. So you got all that to look forward to. Fascinating weekend. Longhorns lose to Iowa State on Friday, and it already feels like forever ago. That game was just a few days ago. Haven't really hashed all of that out, but like I said in the post-game show and I wrote in my column at orangebloods.com, the game management from Tom Herman in that game was so unforgivable that days later, it feels like if a guy was trying to lose his job, hear me out. If a guy was trying to lose his job, it was like, oh man, I don't know. It's 50-50. They might be leaning towards keeping me. What could I do? Oh, let me think about it. Ooh, I got an idea. If we're up in the second half, it's got to be in the second half. If we're up in the second half and it's fourth. he was probably thinking fourth in anything and we're running the fake punt to Brewer because he'll never get the first down. And then the Cowboys game happens on Thursday and he's like, shit, it can't be fourth and 12. And the McCarthy stole my thunder. Mike McCarthy stole my thunder, but I still want to do it. And Herman said it in the post game. They did it because they'd been working on it for a couple of weeks. And in his mind, in his words, it was there. He didn't say it was open. He just said the play was there. Fair enough, coach. And if he was trying to lose again, if he was trying to get fired, I would think the fake punt while up in the fourth quarter, your defense is playing really well. Screw the defense. Let's put some stress on them. Fake punt to Brewer. That, if you were trying to get fired, that's something you might do. And then you add it up and you're like, oh, okay, well, what? God, there's a lot of game left. That didn't quite work. You know what? We're up 4. Chance to go to 7. The smart football play is to take the 3 points there and give yourself insurance because your defense has been playing really well. But if the bend but don't break breaks, you haven't lost the game. If you were trying to lose your job, you might bypass the 33-yard field goal to put you up 7 in the way of a fourth down, a long developing fourth down play against a defense selling out against the run and outnumbering the bodies there to protect what needed to be protected. You might like run a slow developing zone read that has no chance of working. You might do that if you were trying to lose your job. And I would, there are actually a lot of these moments in the fourth quarter, but if you were getting close to Cameron Dicker territory and there's like 10 seconds left on the clock and the likelihood of a touchdown is minuscule. With that offensive line, the chances of a sack or a penalty are significantly higher than the ability to go down the field and score a touchdown. I mean, all they needed to do was get that thing under 50, and the yardage doesn't matter anymore. They took that ball, snapped at the 36-37, with 10 seconds and a timeout left to go. What Texas needed to do was get anywhere between 5 and 10 yards on a quarterback keeper. If it gets stopped for no gain, you're kicking from 53-ish yards. But you didn't really risk anything. Where that ball snapped, they had something to lose. Consequently, Sam gets sacked on a play that I don't know what the thinking was. Again, that's almost a Hail Mary. It is. I mean, you're 5 yards away from, you'd probably call it Hail Mary territory. Iowa State's given up everything in the middle of the field. They're not going to get beat for a touchdown. And they drop back, and it was like a 19-yard drop back. It was as if the positioning on the field didn't matter and game context was gone, and then they take the sack. Suddenly the field goal attempt is 57 yards. And Cameron Dicker kicks a ball that is good from 50, but goes wide left at 57. And there were just so many moments in this game where it was like, if you were trying to lose your job, those would be the things that you would do to lose your job. Every time it looked like you were on the cusp of adding security, the percentage of likelihood of winning, it was like Herman was like, or getting above 50%. What is it, 55 now? Oh, no. Fake punt to Brewer. Oh, we can't be getting near 60. Then I'm cutting it too close. It was mystifying. And it leaves us here on a Monday where Herman's going to do a press conference in 100 minutes from now. Probably a little too literal of information for you guys, I suppose, but nevertheless, that's what I give you. And like, the conversation about Herman the man has a press conference at 12, and the conversation about his job security, we have moved beyond that. That, look, the stakes were absolutely known going into that game. He could win the Big 12 and without any friends on his side, probably keep his job, because you can't fire a guy that just went YOLO and had the best season in a decade. You can't. And now that he can't do it, we can talk about it like all of you that have been holding out, like you can fire him. It's literally never happened. And every person I talk to at every level, from high-level donor to high-level administrator, they all said the same thing. We all want his ass gone. If he wins the Big 12, we ain't getting rid of him. But that's gone. That was those Dems were the stakes. And there was a little bit of a question of, well, look, what if he goes on a six-game heater, gets to the Big 12 championship game, and I don't know, 48-47, they lose. Greatest game ever. You fire him? Are you firing him after that? And one of the conversations has always been, well, like, are you going to get Urban Meyer or not? And the rub is that this Urban Meyer thing has somewhat sat on the back burner because it hasn't been officially decided. And Urban Meyer, from what I've been told, has been pretty clear about this. Like, he's not trying to work behind anybody's back. If you're going to call and tell him we want to talk to you about our job that we're not 100% sure is going to be open, he has not wanted to really proceed beyond that. Call me when you're ready. That's from what we've been told, that's been his position. On Friday, Texas officially became ready. Nothing else needs to be said. I wrote about this on Orange Bloods. We do not need to relitigate Tom Herman's, the Tom Herman era in Austin. I feel like we do that on a daily basis. And we've been doing it for 4 years. So much so that game by game this season, we have been looking at this through the prism of what represents the exit door and what represents he's clinging on. Because once TCU and Oklahoma and the losses and the optics of those games, the eyes of Texas, all of it rolled into one. Once those two things happened, there hasn't been a whole lot left. And now here we are. And Tom Herman's got a press conference coming up. And people have been asking me, I guess I'll call my shot. Like, I think that he'll try to put on a good face. I think he'll say 1-0 100 times. Got to go 1-0. We got a job to do. He's a coach. He'll say all the cliche things. I wonder what the questions sound like. It's funny. You guys know. You guys have been watching the press conferences. Anwar asked the tough questions. Brian Davis may sneak in there. Every other reporter on this beat piggybacks off of like their tough questions. I wonder if now we start to see people get bold. People that haven't asked a bold question in 4 years, at the very end, I wonder how bold they get. It's one of the things I'm wondering about Monday's press conference. Last week, Anwar asked the million-dollar question and really does it on a weekly basis. And it's like, Anwar's on the take. He's asking questions for Herman. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You can't accuse the only dude that ever asks a question that matters. You can't question his ethos. Because at that point, even if he was on the take, what does it matter? He's asking the question that everybody wants to know about. He asked it on Friday in the aftermath of the game. Coach, when it comes to like making the case of whether you should keep your job or not, like how do you do that in the wake of a fourth straight year without a Big 12 championship and 3 out of 4 years without a Big 12 title? Nobody else had the balls to ask anything. He threw that out there and like that was a tough question. I doubt Tom Herman paid Anwar Richardson to ask that question. Anwar's on the take. He's clearly in cahoots. No, man, you have good relationships with people. You don't completely, come out of left field and catch them off guard and embarrass them. But you also do your job. Like, that's what the job asks for. That's why Anwar is really good at his job. Part of the deal is like, I'll be respectful, but I will also ask, I'll throw the heater when I got to throw the heater. That's the job. And I'm curious I don't have to say any names. Ain't nobody asked any tough questions all year. I'm curious today what it looks like. Now that it's just clear that Tom Herman is running out the string and that's an interesting conversation. Like, what does that look like? We'll return to that conversation in just a second. I'm just curious who suddenly is asking a tougher question now that it's okay to do so. Hey, I have no predictions. I want you to know, though, I'm recording this at it's currently 10:27. Press conference starts in 93 minutes. Let's pay attention today. I won't even bring it up. I swear to God, I will not do a follow-up podcast. And if nobody does it, well, then I'll call it out. But assuming that people ask the questions today, I won't say anything. I won't call them out afterwards. I'm just calling everybody out in advance. We know who on this beat asked the tough questions. I'm curious today who comes with a heater to the head after he loses to Iowa State. Just interesting thing for all of us to pay attention to. Just me poking the hornet's nest. But, you know, let's throw these things out there in advance. And then should they happen, like, hey, we all take mental score of like who the pile hoppers are, right? Hey, we all played football. To some degree, you know who the pile hoppers are. On every team. That's all I'm saying. Today, we'll find out who some pile hoppers. Say what you want to about Anwar Richardson. My man is not a pile hopper. And I would think, you know what? One day, Anwar and I will no longer be on this earth. We'll have tombstones somewhere, presumably. They still do those things whenever it happens. And it'll be like, here lies Jeff Ketchum or Anwar Richardson. What it will not say underneath, won't see the word pile hopper. Accuse us of a lot of things. Pile hopping ain't it. Today, we'll see who pile hops. That's all I'm saying. Back to the conversation of Herman in this press conference today. Look, the buyout isn't a big deal. Damn spam risk. Calling my cell phone in the middle of the podcast. Amateur hour. I think when the USA Today came out with its breakdown of coaching salaries and buyouts, and it was like a financial breakdown back in October. I think for some reason, their graph basically decided that 12-1 was the arbitrary date, and maybe not so arbitrary. Like, I don't know why specifically that date would be the one in play. Maybe, and we'll get to this in a second. Maybe it's as simple as the thing I'm about to mention. But they decided you can't go through every contract. You can't go through every single contract and pick the date where in every contract an amount either drops or doesn't drop because of the need for your graphs to be, it's got to look clean. You can't put together some sort of graphic sheet with 100 notes. It can't be that. So they chose, from what I can tell, December 1st as this date by which they were going on this, as of this date, this is what the buyout is for all of the coaches in the country. And on December 1st, the date that they chose, Tom Herman's is like $15,400,000 and some dollars, some change. And for whatever reason, I'm trying to put myself back into that moment when this thing, when was this? Like a month, a little bit over a month ago. It just turned into, on December 1st, the buyout drops to $15 million. So they got to wait till December 1st. For that to kick in. But I was talking to this with Anwar yesterday. Anwar had a lawyer take a look at the contract. And I've looked at it too, and I'm glad he had someone smarter than me take a look at it. there's nothing in there that specifically states that the buyout drops to anything on December 1st. If Texas fired Tom Herman before December 1st, they could save his monthly salary, which is like $416,000. But as it currently stands, that doesn't change. Like if today's what, the 30th? If they fire Herman today, the buyout is $15,400,000 and some change. If they fire him tomorrow, December 1st, it's the same buyout number. The difference would be if they wait until December to fire Herman, then he'll get paid his monthly $400,000+ a month salary, and they could save themselves $400,000 if it happened before the first. That's how we've interpreted the contract. So there's not really a deadline for them to do anything. So he shows up today. You know, I think Texas is an interesting spot here. They have traditionally prided themselves on not being the type of place that fires a coach before the end of the season. I think having Herman on staff right now is beautiful cover. That's why, for me, you don't fire him. You know why? Because I think everybody realizes that Urban Meyer has a decision to make. But as long as Texas isn't addressing this, it's not completely on the front of the stove. For instance, if Texas fires Herman right after Friday, then on Saturday, Urban Meyer is on the spot. But on Saturday, they didn't even talk about Texas or Tom Herman's job. They barely mentioned the game. That's a network. I mean, Texas, Urban Meyer will be on set on Friday or Saturday, I guess. Like Texas and Kansas State, 11 o'clock on Fox. So by letting him keep the job through this week, at the very least, it just provided cover for Urban Meyer. Now, I don't know how much longer the cover lasts, but it got him through the weekend. And it presumably allows Urban Meyer this entire week to make a decision. There's no need for an arbitrary deadline on Tuesday or Wednesday. They just need to let him know that it would be best if he made his decision this week. And then Urban can talk with the school and say, okay, well, what does it look like? Let's talk it out. When do I need to officially be on the job? How does it have to go? What is the answer? We got signing day coming up on the 16th. Urban, when do we need to have you in place for that? What's your opinion? And then Urban's like, well, ASAP, or all we need is 5 days. So it's got to be announced by the 11th. And what's today? Well, today's the 30th of November. They have time. Or he could say, the sooner the better, do it 15 minutes ago. But it's Urban's call. I think that's where we are. And I think if you fire Tom Herman, Urban Meyer can't breathe without the Texas thing suddenly being a flashlight onto his life. I don't think he's quite ready for that yet. And I think he'd like to be able to make a decision on what he wants to do before the flashlight truly is on him. So even today, Bruce Feldman writes a column on Texas and Tom Herman and talks about Urban Meyer, but it's very vague. Now, I thought that was somewhat revealing because that leads me to believe he went to Urban Meyer and was like, yo, I'm going to write about this. What are you okay with me saying? Friend, colleague, compatriot, person I will see on the set in a few days. I bet Feldman even read that to Urban Meyer. You good with this? Any of that crazy? I think it's a good, I think it's revealing that we are in this place where Urban Meyer is like thinking about it. But it doesn't go deep into that. Bruce Feldman can get away without going too deep today because technically Tom Herman still got his job. I mean, hey, Herman could win his last two games and go 7-3. It'd be the second best record since 2010. Like, right? Mm-hmm. So I just think that Herman can't hurt anybody now. Where Herman was somewhat dangerous was before he lost. His ability to be the only person in Texas public sphere saying anything would allow a very smart and, I don't know, smart would be a good place to start. Somebody with enough foresight to game plan for like an approach. I don't think Tom Herman has proven to me to be that guy. Somebody with a little bit more of a Machiavellian sense about them, though, could have used these last few weeks to really just make things uncomfortable. Look, it's a hell of a thing once you figure out your boss ain't coming out to say anything. You know, it's like learning that your boss never comes into the building on Fridays. You know, eventually you're like, I might take an hour for lunch. Ain't nobody there to stop me. Like, I think that Tom Herman has had the luxury of the pulpit for months now, and I don't think he's strategically used it well. Now, I don't know that he could strategically use it in any way that could save him in the position that he's in now, but back in October, yeah, he could have. And he wasn't smart. He didn't pick his battles wisely. He should have realized he was the only one who's going to come out and say anything. He got played by Chris Del Conte. I don't know that Tom Herman could have saved himself. Like, ultimately, he's 7-3. They lose to TCU. They lose to Oklahoma. They have the optics of the Eyes of Texas controversy. He doesn't get to the Big 12 championship game. I mean, he might just be fucked. But they could have won on Saturday. They probably should have won on Saturday. They could have run this table. They didn't. But in a world where he's a little bit better at his job than he is, and they get to that 8-2 finish line, how he's handled the media to me has been sloppy. I mean, sit me down for 15 minutes and I can strategize something better than what he's done. And look, maybe that's a sign. He's all in, focused on football. Okay. I would just contend that in 2020, the Nick Sabans and the Urban Meyers and the Dabos of the world, they're not all just football. They're not. Those dudes are everything. They cover everything. They cut no corners. So, you know, I guess it's a badge of honor to be like, well, all I've done is think football, and I didn't have time to think about politics and what the angle. Well, you know what? That strategy allowed Tom Herman to get put into a position where the entire Texas fan base thinks that Chris Del Conte was crystal clear with his instructions from the very beginning, because three other head coaches went on the record with statements with no follow-up questions and no other commentary or follow-up from the media. Just very specific statements, vague to some degree in their lack of specificity. Herman let that happen to him. And it's a hell of a thing to be suddenly in a place where you are publicly feuding with your boss. Herman could probably say, well, what's the upside with me like getting into a fight with Del Conte? He's my boss. I would say the moment that Del Conte and you, once the moment that Del Conte is throwing you under the bus is the moment when a true power play breaks out. And Tom Herman really didn't fight a power play. And if you don't understand what Chris Del Conte has been doing with his silence for the last few months, if you don't understand how that's a bit of a power play, then this probably isn't a podcast for you anyway. These two men have been battling for power, but only one's really been going for it. And I think Tom Herman is not that one. Now Chris Del Conte is going to be able to get through all of this. He'll probably never have to answer for the Eyes of Texas thing. And maybe Texas fans prefer that. Because there's a whole heap of questions that that guy has never answered that warrant being asked. And there's a reason why he hadn't been meeting with the media to talk about that. He's convinced all of you that big bad Tom Herman's the boogeyman. And that, like, you know, he didn't have anything to do with any of that. He gave instructions. And then he put three head coaches to support him on the record. Tom, and I won't even get into it. I'm about to get critical of other reporting on that situation, but I'll just let it go. But yeah, Tom is in this pickle. He got to go do this press conference. And I'm expecting it to be kind of sad. And he just isn't the story right now. The story is that it's Monday. And presumably the course of the future of Texas football changes forever based on the decision that Urban Meyer makes. And it's a hard one to handicap. Don't think it'll come down to money. I think Texas, to get through the door, money ain't an issue. I have a hard time believing. Honestly, I had heard $100 million over 10 years, and it makes sense. Why in the hell would Urban Meyer take less money or a better situation than Jimbo Fisher, who's in the same state? And if you're Urban, it's an easy thing to ask for. Plus, you know, Urban ain't coaching 10 years at Texas. But, you know, there have been some whispers of $60 million over 5 years. I don't know. That doesn't feel right to me. Mainly because the one thing in recruiting that Urban Meyer, in theory, will have to deal with in recruiting is the fact that his health has cut short his career at two jobs. So the one thing that Urban Meyer signing a five-year deal would do is that if you're at A&M or you're Oklahoma or you're Alabama or whomever, I mean, you'd point to Texas and you'd say, well, if you go there, you don't know if Urban Meyer is going to be there by the time you leave. I mean, Urban Meyer's first class. But beyond that, you start pointing to that contract and you'd say, you know. And this was happening to Mack Brown when he was at Texas. You know, once you start talking about when a coach's departure is, and Urban Meyer's health, this is an opening for others to use against him. So a five-year deal, I think people start pointing to the back end of that contract the way they do in soccer. I'll give you an example. Like Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool, you know, his contract up until, like, I don't know, right before the pandemic, it was like March, April. I can't remember exactly when they made the announcement, but his contract was going to end in 2023, I think, 2023, 2024. And he added a couple of years to it. And what did that do? I mean, that stopped the conversation about, well, he's getting ready to come to the end of his deal. He's signed a 7-year deal and he's only going to go. Then he made it a 9-year deal and it's not as big of a thing. I think the moment that you'd give Urban a contract, you'd probably every year be adding years onto it for the sake of optics, because you don't ever want to be in a position where they're able to use that against you in recruiting. A 10-year deal, dude, that takes them until 2030. So normally a 5-year length makes complete sense. But this isn't a normal situation, and the Jimbo Fisher contract is a precedent that has never truly existed before for a coaching free agent post the Jimbo Fisher deal being given out. We've never lived in a world where somebody's got the juice to say, well, I'm better than that dude. That's the new standard. It starts at 75 over 10. I want 120 over 10, like whatever. But 60 over 5, I'm just telling you, and I'm explaining why. That doesn't feel like the deal I think would get done. Maybe it's not 10, but I don't think it's 5 either. It ain't 4 or 5. I have to believe it's at least 6. And again, I'm hearing the Fisher deal being mentioned a lot behind the scenes. So full transparency, that's in the business. That contract gets referenced all the time. And I've had people say, look, man, Urban Meyer has got an ego that's not going to allow him to accept less than what Jimbo Fisher is making. And they're right. And why would he? The man's trying to make a decision. Do I want to overlook my health to go work in a very stressful job? You know, they gotta make it worth it. You know, you can make me the highest paid guy. I'll just wait. No, like, so I don't know. We'll see. I won't lie and say I have extensive insight into exactly what's taking place in terms of contract. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. And I'm also telling you when I hear 60 over 5, it just doesn't make sense to me. And I also have a hard time believing that Texas would feel comfortable paying someone $12 million a year when the high mark right now is 9. This is a place that doesn't want to pay anybody. They don't want to pay people Saban or Dabo money to create the new bar. Okay. It just goes against who they typically have been. And I know that right now they would appear to be doing that in one big fail swoop, but you know, it's a lot at once. There's a lot of YOLO in here. I'll be staggered. If it ends up being 12 a year, I'll be damn. Would nobody ever be able to say Texas wasn't serious about football ever again? Ever. And I don't know what the world looks like where Texas made the effort and he doesn't take the job. I don't know if Texas fans can accept that. But that we're talking 10, 11, 12 million a year, that to me, that speaks of a group of people going for it. Will they get it? Oh, that's the rub. That is the conversation. And look, I'm going to go take a break. I'm going to go drink some water. Get ready for this press conference. The Hoops team plays at 10. I'm going to go watch Greg Brown dunk on somebody. And then I'll do this again in a little bit less than 2 hours when we do the Overreaction Monday press conference reaction show with me and Anwar. So sit tight. The Yak will be bumping all day long, all week long, until, you know, a couple hours from now. Later.